Yeah, so he talks a little bit more about what the government's going to look like here. Yet a wide struggle between interest groups and ideas is not only conceivable, it is inevitable. 1 year, 5 year, 10 year plans of business development, schemes for national education, construction of a new basic line of transportation, the transformation of farms, the program for improving the technological and cultural equipment of Latin America, a program for the capital in Panama, a program for stratosphere communications, eugenics. All of these will arouse controversy, vigorous electoral struggle, and passionate debate in the newspapers and at public meetings. All right, so here we go. There's going to be electoral struggle. There's going to be elections.
Yeah.
And passionate debate.
Up to the people of America whether we pursue eugenics.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know if he might have been a little bit on the fence about eugenics.
I mean, like a lot of people were at this point.
Yeah. For Soviet America will not imitate the monopoly of the press by the heads of Soviet Russia's bureaucracy. While Soviet America would nationalize all printing plants, paper mills, and means of distribution, this would be a purely negative measure. It would simply mean that private capital will no longer be allowed to decide what publications should be established, whether they should be progressive or reactionary, wet or dry, meaning do you drink or are you a prohibitionist, puritanical or pornographic. We could print a porn in Soviet America? Soviet America will have to find a new solution for the question of how the power of the press is to function in a socialist regime. It might be done on the basis of proportional representation for the votes in each Soviet election. All right, so they are controlling it a bit.
Yeah.
This is not going to just be a free-for-all. All right. Thus, the right of each group of citizens to use the power of the press would depend on their numerical strength, the same principle being applied to the use of meeting halls, allotment of time, and air on the air, and so forth. Okay, so NPR.
Yeah.
But truly NPR.
Soviet.
Or no, it'd be more like public access. It'd be like every wingnut.
Oh yeah, yeah, true.
You get your hour show.
Right.
And it could be porned if you want. We can't stop you.
Thus, the management and policy of publications would be decided not by individual checkbooks, but by group ideas. This may take little account of numerically small but important groups, but it simply means that each new idea will be compelled, as throughout history, to prove its right to existence. Rich Soviet America can set aside vast funds for research and invention, discoveries and experiments in every field. You won't neglect your bold architects and sculptors, your unconventional poets, and audacious philosophers. In fact, the Soviet Yankees of the future will give a lead to Europe in these very fields where Europe has hitherto been your master. Europeans have little conception of the power of technology to influence human destiny and have adopted an attitude of sneering superiority toward Americanism, particularly since the crisis. Yet Americanism marks the true dividing line between the Middle Ages and the modern world.
Yes.
Wow.
Trotsky loves America.
Yeah.
He should.
Our technology is better, and so far that we've been neglecting the smelling the roses, the finer things, the humanities, but with communism, that will change. And those cable access shows are going to be even more based than in Europe.
Yeah, he's like, you guys are a little dumb now, but you know what? That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense. We have the resources to be way more cultured than anybody else,
but
we choose not to use them, or we choose to concentrate them.
Yeah,
not choose, but they are concentrated.
Yeah, education's terrible.
Yeah.
Education's really bad in the United States. Hitherto, America's conquest of nature has been so violent and passionate that you have had no time to modernize your philosophies or to develop your own artistic forms. Hence, you have been hostile to the doctrines of Hegel, Marx, and Darwin. The burning of Darwin's works by the Baptists of Tennessee is only a clumsy reflection of the American dislike for the doctrines of evolution. This attitude is not confined to your pulpits. It is part of your general mental makeup. Oh, that's nasty. You like even if you believe in Darwin, because you're an American, you don't understand evolution. You can't know the deep truth of Darwin.
Jeez.
You don't know about eugenics like I do.
Yeah. Well, that's why they didn't like Darwin, a lot of people, because people were taking him in a eugenic direction.
Uh-huh. And so, another interesting thing that this makes me think of is during the New Deal, there is this sort of, part of the WPA was cataloging and representing American folk art. A lot of socialists and communists go into this.
Right.
So, for example, what we know as folk music was developed by ethnomusicologists hired by the New Deal to travel the country and record folk music. Yeah. And there are similar stories for this, for like oral histories and, all parts of what we understand as the American character today came from this moment of funding this article still predates. So he's right that America hasn't really had the chance to sort of define itself
right.
or see itself.
We don't know our own culture. Your atheists as well as your Quakers are determined rationalists, and your rationalism itself is weakened by empiricism and moralism. It has none of the merciless vitality of the great European rationalists. So your philosophic method is even more antiquated than your economic system and your political institutions. I feel like he's saving the nasty stuff for the end. Like
Trotsky. The ad person went away. He couldn't convince Trotsky to cut this part. But yeah, he's talking about the Protestant work ethic, basically, I think.
Mm.
Today, quite unprepared, you are being forced to face those social contradictions that grow up unsuspected in everyday society. You have conquered nature by means of the tools that your inventive genius has created, only to find that your tools have all but destroyed you. Contrary to all your hopes and desires, your unheard-of wealth has produced unheard-of misfortunes.
True.
You have discovered that social development does not follow a simple formula. Hence, you have been thrust into the school of the dialectic to stay.
Mm.
Wow. This is very unevenly written.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful paragraph.
Yeah. Yeah,
You're in the negative infinity now because you don't understand evolution. You don't understand that we have these tools not just to fucking work, but to like build a better world, a better future.
Right.
We're stuck in this mindset of reproducing the status quo. And so you're just stuck in this historical moment. You got to progress. You got to go forward. It's right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to put one foot in front of you. It's beautiful. There is no turning back from it to the mode of thinking and acting prevalent in the 17th and 18th centuries. While the romantic numbskulls of Nazi Germany are dreaming of restoring the old race of Europe's dark forest to its original purity, or rather, its original filth,
mic drop.
You Americans, after taking a firm grip on your economic machinery and your culture, will apply genuine scientific methods to the problem of eugenics. Within a century out of your melting pot of races, there will come a new breed of men, the first worthy of the name man.
I mean, he's kind of doing a progressive eugenics here.
Yeah.
That's like you can have these people mate and they'll create, like a smart person and a fit person will create like a smart and fit child, and in a few hundred years we're gonna have the new socialist man.
I think I want to give him the benefit of the doubt here. I think he is being purely metaphorical. I don't think he should be using race to do this, but this idea of the Creole did exist in the United States. Obviously in Mexico there was the idea of the cosmic race. I think that was a little bit later. That might have been the 40s or 50s. But this idea that like the mestizo race was kind of superior because it was both European and indigenous.
Uh-huh.
And the United States kind of had their own version of this, which was that because we're a melting pot society, we have the good of all societies.
Right.
And we're more advanced in this way.
Yeah.
And so I don't think he's literally saying this is going to be like the new Ubermensch or something, but the America is yet to reach its own potential as a people, as like an ethnic group.
Uh-huh.
And your makeup, in a way, could be very good for that, both your historical makeup and your cultural makeup, your ethnic makeup. And then maybe your weird fixation and debates about eugenics will kind of fade away because you'll realize you're already special.
Yeah, I mean, it's fitting how we began about talking about whether lactose intolerance is part of ethnicity, and now we're ending on some eugenic stuff.
Your phlegmy Jews will cease to exist.
So the final sentence, this is all I knew about this essay before reading it, that he had this. And I did think this was going to be more of a part of the essay, that it this seems like kind of...
It really deserves a whole nother essay.
Yeah. Maybe it's lost somewhere. But he says, one final prophecy. In the third year of the Soviet rule in America, you will no longer chew gum! Exclamation point.
And that's it. That's the end of the...
Yeah, doesn't elaborate further onto why is, why it's good or bad. And it's the third year, not immediately, and it's not going to take that long, but it will take exactly 3 years before Americans stop chewing gum.